Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
שבת שנייה שלא בבית לשנייה, אבל אני לא מתלונן, אני נשבעתי להגן על המדינה, לכן פה בפלגה.
After 2 weeks on מילואים, I wrote a song. It was like מילואים נשאר גם עוד 100 ימים, stays like 400 days, כי גם אם לפעמים נמאס צריך למחוק את החמאס.
מילואים נשאר גם עוד 100 ימים, כי גם אם לפעמים נמאס צריך למחוק את החמאס עד שמקבל שיחה בבית.
So I wrote it in half an hour, but then I put it on Instagram and it blew up, and I have 500,000 views. And actually, with half an hour of work with a silly funny song, I managed to give people a reason to smile, and this is the most biggest thing I did in my life.
Hey listeners, it's Mishi. So as you know, we're continuing our series of wartime diaries, which is an attempt to collect slivers of life during these dark, dark days we're all experiencing. Some 350,000 Israelis have been called up to reserve duty since the start of the war, in what has been the largest mobilization in the country's history. These are people who were plucked out of their homes, their families, and their daily lives, and inserted into a totally different world. One which is, in most cases, to add to the confusion, just a short car ride away. And those transitions back and forth, between the craziness of the front line and the veneer of normalcy at home, can be dizzying and unsettling. We're hearing more and more about that juxtaposition now that large numbers of reservists are being released from their service and are returning to their regular lives. One of them is Noam Tzurieli from Jerusalem. Noam's a rapper who recently put out his debut album and had, pre-war, a string of big-time gigs all lined up. He was summoned for reserve duty on October 7th and has spent most of the last 4 months in Gaza. Our producers Mitch Ginsburg and Yael Ben-Horin spoke to him just as he came out of Gaza and began his readjustment to civilian life. Here he is.
I'm Noam Tzurieli, 28, born and raised in Jerusalem, a rapper, a musician, and since the 7th of October, a miluimnik and a combat soldier. My parents, my mother came from France when she was 18, she made an aliyah. My father was born here, his parents come from Yemen, and since the age of 6, I start writing songs. At the age of 7, playing the piano, and I knew from that moment that this is what I want to do in my life.
So you went on to serve in the Duftevan unit, an elite undercover unit in the army, and when you got out, you launched a musical career, and a couple of years ago, you sort of broke out with a few singles, like Nus Nus.
Yes. So what I did is the song, Nus Nus is half and half, chetzi chetzi. I write it line in Hebrew, line in Arabic.
כמה מילות פתיחה לפני שיתחיל הברדק. זה שיר שונה, זה שיר מסע, תחזיקו חזק. ברגעים שלא תבינו, תבינו, זה המשחק. יא אחוי, בת אם, אלינו, ג'יפט, כמוס ערבי, מעק.
So it's a picture that if you understand only one language, so you understand 50, maybe 60% of the picture. And that was the point of the song, that is what happened in Israel. But since the war started, I did like, I don't know, I think 10 shows or 11 shows already. I didn't perform with Nus Nus because I think I still believe in his message very much, but now for me it's still a time to just focus about my people.
ניסינו להשיג את השלום, היה תפוס להריב רבל, כי מפעמינו מפעם בסנוס נוס נוס.
So where were you on October 7?
In Jerusalem, in my grandfather's house. I'm from a religious family. Me myself, I'm like in between, you know, searching. But I was with them and I honored the holiday, so I was without my phone. So we went to the synagogue, Simchat Torah, and right before the tefillah start, the gabbai went up and said, there's a war. We're going to make the tefillah short, no dancing, no nothing. All the soldiers, go home, open your phones, get ready.
So you were called up on that day, on the 7th, and trained for a couple of weeks before the ground invasion began at the end of October. Can you describe actually going into Gaza?
Yes, it was middle of the night. It was like 5 to 6 kilometers of a walk, 3 kilometers in Israel, 3 kilometers in Gaza, until we got to the first line of houses. We were in Bet Hanun. We started in Bet Hanun. And I think the first 2 or 3 days, amount of, how do you say, Harris?
Destruction
was overwhelming. It's things you see in the movie.
Can you talk a bit, Noam, about the fear?
In the beginning, everything is scary. Going to houses, you see like a rope of electricity, a cable, you think maybe this is going to a bomb or something. One time we were in the second floor, and from the first floor I heard noises. So I woke up one of my team, and we went down like suspicious as we could, with some night goggles you can see at night through, just to discover it was a cat run all over the kitchen, you know. But that was for me one of the most scariest part of the war. I need to say that we saw like entire neighborhoods, and we didn't see anybody, like any terrorist, for the first 2 weeks, and it's thanks to the bombing. So yes, we bombed entire neighborhood, but if we haven't bombed the houses, it'd be used for the terrorist to wait for us to come.
Did you have any clashes with the enemy at all when you were there?
Fortunately, yes. Our company, it's 4 crews together. We really know each other. We really became a family. So in my company, we lost 2 friends, 2 soldiers. One of them, Eyal Berkovich, the other one, Gal Eisenkot, the son of the Ramatkal, Gadi Eisenkot. Gal was 25, from Herzliya, non-religious at all, you know, living life, skiing a lot, was there for months, and they come back, and partying. He has lots of friends from the Nova. He was also supposed to be at the Nova the same night. At the end, he changed his plan. And the other hand was his couple. In the army, you have, we call it metal couple, like Tzemet Barzel, like the one you go with and you never leave. So his couple, Eyal Berkovich, was the most religious from their crew, married, 30 years old, really serious, really always about respecting everybody, learning Gemara while he can, like he was their little rabbi. And the fact that those two fought together, after all we know what's happening in Israel for a year now, I think, and fought together and died together, it's just a lesson about we need to be worthy of their death. Like, they didn't fight for us to continue fighting one another.
Mm-hmm. And can you give us a sense, Noam, of what a day looks like as a soldier serving in Gaza?
Yes, of course. So we wake up in 5 in the morning or 5:30, and most of the time you have 1, maybe 2 missions a day maximum, because you're not fighting alone in Gaza. You have all the army is with you. So each team has its own house, and it's going really slow because we prefer to go a little bit slower, but to save our lives and not going with a rush to somewhere we don't know what's going to happen, and then getting injured or dead, of course. And then we get to our new place. We build our defense, like positions in this place. I'm in charge of putting the guards over there, and we start the routine of guarding on this house, and of course looking forward to our next mission. Going to sleep when there's dark, like at night you don't have electricity there, you don't want to use any electricity or lighting because you don't want them to know where you are. So 5-6 p.m. everybody's like almost half asleep, and 7 p.m. everybody's already asleep. This is why it's not so hard to wake up at 5, because you go to bed in 7, even though you got during the night for an hour or two. But look, you live in their houses, and you don't have water. But after really 2 weeks, you understand that you can use the gas. So you actually make food, you make rice, you make pasta. Like it's becoming a house, it's becoming a home, and the team become your family. And between the missions, between fearing for your life, you actually have life over there. And when you go back home, this is not your life. But I'm talking about myself, as somebody who left an album behind him, not somebody with children or a family. So, but my story is, I really felt like Gaza is my life. And in home, I'm taking vacations from my real life over there.
It sounds like there must be a lot of downtime in between missions. How do you guys spend it? Do you talk? Do you joke around?
Yes, yes. Lots of joke. Really, really good times we had in Gaza. Really. We had in one of the houses, we have some old man. We don't know how, but he just stayed in his house the whole war. So he was with us for 2 weeks. Of course, under guard and everything. So nothing bad happened to him or to us, but he was there. And I talked with him.
What did you guys talk about?
Just regular stuff about what he wants to eat. He told me about his family, that he's waiting for him to come back after the war is over. Keeps saying that we won't hurt his house. And we're like, okay, no problem. You're here already for 2 weeks. You think you understand we're not going to do anything to you? He was a nice old man. Nice old Palestinian man.
Wow.
So, yes, we just talk about life. Jokes. We started playing poker. I really am a fan of backgammon, but I didn't play any backgammon, shashbash, in Gaza because, you know, Gaza, it's life and death things, and backgammon is more than that, more important. So I didn't bring any backgammon with me. But we did brought books. I was in charge of the library. We had like 4 or 5 books. I asked everybody to give me his favorite book, like what he recommend to the other to read, and I had this list. So I was like, all right, let's do something good with this war and educate ourselves. And so I went out and bought some of them. I got a discount because for the Miluim, for Gaza, so it wasn't too much expensive. I was in charge also of gumi. I don't know how to say gumi, like the candies.
Gummy bears?
It's not bears, it's everything, yeah? But yeah, I have 4.5 kilos of those every time we entered Gaza.
Wait, what?
Like this. Yes. We got, every 24 hours, we got food. So by night, there's 6 of us or 8 of us needs to go grab lots of bags that came from Israel in order with the equipment, with food for another 24 hours, with water. So one time we went and in the bags was also gummy bears. And that was like, oh my God, everybody wants some. It was so delicious and really, really felt better after that. And I was like, how we don't have it on us all the time. So when I went up, I went to the shuk and took 4.5 kilos of gummy bears. And like, all right, now we can have in every dark time, I can put it out and give the people some sugar.
And now you're out. I imagine it must have been a huge contrast. How has the transition into civilian life been like?
Look, for lots of miluim, it's hard to, when you lose the meaning, because you were for a moment fighting for Am Yisrael, and in the other you're just in the office going through mails. But because of what I do, because of the music, I feel really meaningful. So for me, this transformation is pretty smooth. I think I feel the change or some emptiness when it will be over. Like when actually we won the war, now what? Now nobody needs a hero and everybody's in the houses again. You just can come back to be a regular musician.
אפעם לא אמרתי שאני מבין הכל, היום אני מבין הרבה פחות. ואם לא כל יום פורים, זה הזמן אולי לשאול, מתי כבר מורידים את המסכות? אפעם לא חשבתי, אפילו לדקה, שהעולם ככה יתהפך. גל מביא עוד גל, מכה אחרי מכה, הילד כבר כמעט לא מחייך.
הוא מחייך כי אין בית ספר, אבל גם הוא מרגיש את המועקה. שוב בעבודה נתנו לאבא הפסקה, אבל אבא לא מחייך, להפך הוא מודאג. כי סבא כבר זקן, והוא שוב לבד בחג, והם חשבו שהוא נרדם. אבל וואלה הוא שמע משהו על לשבור וחסכונות ואז דממה ואז הם נכנסו לחדר חיבקו אותו חזק כמה זמן כבר אבא לא צחק
והוא לוחש להם יהיה טוב, יהיה טוב תחזיקו מאמה נצא מזה בקרוב וכשנצא מזה מלא את הרחובות ונזכר איך שהמשכנו לכבוד ואחבק אותך אחבק אותך חזק כמו שהפעם לא חיבקתי וכשנצא מזה נתפול ברחובות וזה כמו מנצחים מהקרבות אני אצד חזק, אצד חזק חזק כמו שהפעם לא צעקתי
וכן קשה לראות את האור כשעוד חשוך וכן, קשה שלא ליפול כשהכל הפוך ממשלה בערפל מתעסקת בתפל במקום תפעל את המשבר הם מגבירים את המסים מספרים לנו סיפור על טובים ועל רעים הופכים לנו טעם לציבור מלא קרעים זורים זרעים של חרדה רק מזה אני חליתי איך הפכתם מגפה לכלי משחק פוליטי אז עליתי קצת מעל זה ראיתי משפחות שפעם עוד הייתה להם תקווה עכשיו פחות עייפים מהבטחות מבינים שנעזבו להנחות לוקחים את המשכות מוצאים את הכוחות כולנו בתוך זה ביחד מוח ואחות כי עברנו הכל את פרות המדברת הגולה הכל אותו שיט אולם כשעורף אבל זה גם עם שסוחב עוד מימי בראשית נכון שנפשית קשה כבר לסחוב וכולנו כבר על הקצה ננצח פה רק מרצה ביחד ניקח אחריות ביחד נצא
והוא לוחש להם יהיה טוב יהיה
טוב
תחזיקו מאמה נצא מזה בקרוב וכשנצא מזה מלא את הרחובות ונזכר איך שהמשכנו לכבוד ואחבק אותך, אחבק אותך חזק כמו שהפעם לא חיבקתי וכשנצא מזה נתפול ברחובות וזה כמו מנצחים מהקרבות אני אצד חזק, אצד חזק
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.